Talk Live. The Friday edition, we're kicking off Hour 3. You can take control of the airwaves by dialing in at 800-259-9231. Bring up whatever you want. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site are completely free. freetalklive.com. As we kick things off here with a phone call, let's go to Robbie in Wisconsin. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Alternative fuel.
Okay, what about it?
What would you say that if I would be offering to sell you a vehicle that would run on, it's 60 cents a gallon, an automobile?
Sounds pretty good. How many miles do I get to the gallon?
Well, the automobile would travel about, on average, on a tank full, 150 miles around, an electric vehicle I'm talking here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the film, Who Killed the Electric Car, which just came out recently. I watched and was blown away. Have you guys checked out the trailers for it at all or anything?
No, I think I've heard something about it, though.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And actually, there's a bunch of celebrities in there, Tom Hanks and Mel Gibson and a few others. And it's
What's the suggestion that the some sort of corporate agents bought up the ideas? I mean, what's the plot of the film?
Yeah, mainly like the oil companies is one of the major targets in the film, and that they pretty much stopped it. And they were saying that there was no demand for the electric car, which is totally false.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Well, the electric cars that were out in the 70s, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these things, but they were like a triangle that went 30 miles an hour.
Oh, I think I've seen a few pictures of the early editions, but the one that GM had in 1996, it actually looked really nice. It looked kind of like the last edition of the Camaro that came out.
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of it.
So, I mean, I guess the point of the movie is to say that the oil industry has been sort of keeping these ideas down, but now they're coming out again because there's certainly hybrids coming out. There's pure electric cars, hydrogen-powered cars. I think it's starting to finally expand out a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, it's correct, because recently I just saw an article the other day that Saturn's coming out with a hybrid that's you're going to be able to plug it in and it's going to charge and it's going to get upwards of 70 miles to the gallon, but that's still nothing compared to what the electric cars had, and that was in 96, so who knows what the technology would be today.
I think a lot of it has to do, and I don't know if the movie addressed this, and you can certainly tell me if they did or not, but I think a lot of it has to do with the oil company's ties to government and the fact that if it weren't for so many government regulations on energy, maybe we would have had this development happening at a faster clip sooner.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there that towards the end of the film there was kind of like a court case, and they found like all the people guilty, the automobile industry, the governments, and the oil companies. They found them all guilty.
Wait, who? Is this fiction, this movie?
No, it's all documented. They have the drivers of the cars. They interview people in government and the oil companies and everything.
So somebody was actually found guilty of
but the trial is fictitious.
No, there was no, not like that. It didn't actually go to court that way, but they showed like proceedings in court where they cut off the government spending that went to the automobile companies and the claims that there was no demand for the electric car and so forth.
Interesting.
And one thing I was going to bring up is that, like, what would be the purpose? They recalled all these vehicles, and then they had them all crushed, and they actually flew over the crush site, and the cars were crushed, and why would they take these cars and hide them?
Did they? Is this all? I mean, is this all true?
Yes.
GM?
Yes. Yes. Well, there's actually GM was the main one covered in the film, but Ford, Toyota, Honda, and I think Mazda's in the film as well.
Wow.
The documentary.
Yeah, I hope the oil business's days are numbered. I hope that we see more competition for alternative forms of energy, because more energy competition just means lower prices for filling up and getting to where you need to go. And what was the movie called again?
Who Killed the Electric Car?
Neat. I'm sure some of our listeners will be checking that out. Right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you at 1-800-259-9231. I think that if we had actually had a situation in America where power companies, for instance, were actually competitive in that you didn't have this one monopolistic power company in your area, you probably would see a really, quite a race to develop newer, more efficient forms of power, cheaper forms of power at the same time to feed people's homes with, and that would probably play off into to the automotive business as well. I think really you're looking at a tremendous lack of competition amongst the energy industry because of government protectionism.
Right, they're bought. You know, they have their lobbyists have bought the politicians so thoroughly they don't have to compete as much as they would otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice for them, insured profits, no competition, but it's bad for the rest of us. We could have cleaner burning fuel. We could have more power for less money. All of these things could be happening. But no, we got to stick with a one-size-fits-all government plan of only one power company for any given area. And as a result, we've got a government-approved monopoly. And that's not very American, is it? 800-259-9231. Your thoughts on that? Last hour, we talked about a very disturbing story about a young lady who was strip-searched in her McDonald's back office by the manager at the time, who believed she was on the phone with a police officer. Now, the whole story is really disturbing. She was strip-searched. She not only was doing a strip-search, but ordered to do very obscure, strange things like jumping jacks and bending over on a chair so she could be spanked, all because she had allegedly stolen a customer's purse, of course, which wasn't true. The man on the phone wasn't a police officer, and even if he was, the woman shouldn't have been following his orders. And it all has to do with Americans and people everywhere and their deference to authority. The fact that they're willing to do virtually anything, some Americans, not all, because there were two guys that came in and refused to take part in this whatsoever.
Well, the part that you're not mentioning is the girl didn't begin screaming at the top of her lungs.
Because she probably has very low self-esteem, as many teenage girls do.
Well, what about the guy doing the spanking? Doesn't he have low self-esteem, too?
I don't know. He's probably enjoying spanking a little 18-year-old naughty. He had an excuse.
Know.
It was his excuse.
He's
was
the only one
on
who got
phone.
Any time.
That's true.
The guy who did the phone calling, in all likelihood, you know, the one that was accused of doing the phone calling, didn't get any time.
Found not guilty. They couldn't prove that he made the calls. They proved that he bought phone cards that were used in the call
and had them used ones in his house
in his trailer. Yep.
Ones that had been used in this
wasn't good enough for the jury, and now he's still a free man. I don't know if he's still
good enough to me.
I don't know if he's still working for the Corrections Institute that he worked with before. They didn't tell you about what happened to him afterwards.
Right.
But just a really disturbing story about how it is that people will follow the orders of anyone they perceive to be an authority. And this is not news. This is old news. It's just kind of a new way to spin authority and get people to follow silly orders. Let's track back to, I believe it was the 70s in the Milgram experiment, or the late 60s, one or the other, just to kind of clue you into this in case this is news to you.
This is from the Milgram experiment on Wikipedia. Subjects were recruited for the Yale study through newspaper ads and direct mail. Experiments occurred in two rooms in the basement of the Lindsay Chitlin Hall in the university's old campus. The experiment was advertised as lasting 1 hour, for which the respondents would be paid $4.50, whether they completed the task or not.
It wasn't too shabby back then.
No. Participants were men between the ages of 20 and 50, from all educational backgrounds, ranging from elementary school dropout to participants with doctoral degrees. The role of the experimenter was played by a stern, impassive biology teacher dressed in a technician's coat, and the victim was played by an Irish-American accountant trained to act for the role. The participant and the confederate of the experimenter were told by the experimenter that they were to be participating in an experiment to test the effects of punishment on learning. A slip of paper was then given to the participant and the other to the confederate, that's the actor.
When in fact the study was actually testing their obedience to authority.
Correct. The participant was led to believe that one of the slips said learner and the other said teacher. And the participant had been given the slips randomly. In fact, both slips said teacher, but the actor claimed to have the slip that read learner, thus guaranteeing that the participant was always the teacher. At this point, the teacher and learner were separated into different rooms where they could communicate but not see each other. In one version of the experiment, the confederate was sure to mention to the participant that he had a heart condition. The teacher was given a 45-volt electric shock from the electroshock generator as a sample of the shock that the learner would supposedly receive
during
the experiment.
Right, so they've been completely brought into the fold at this point. They believe they were randomly chosen for their role, and they believe that there are electric shocks involved. The reason we're talking about this is because it's really important. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot. No matter what the reason, you can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bed, F, A-N.com.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You bring up whatever you want. Toll-free 800-259-9231. Packet 8 toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231 for all your voice over IP needs. Packet8.net. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site are completely free, and that does include the wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com, where to go to find over 850 pages created by listeners like you. In fact, all of the content on the wiki has been created by our listeners, so head over there and get interactive with it at wiki.freetalklive.com, wiki.freetalklive.com. Talking about the Stanley Milgram experiment, because, well, it matters, because it points out, as we're going to show here, how obedient people are to what they perceive of as an authority. Now, with the setup so far, is you've got a random group of probably college students.
It's 20 to 50.
Yeah, okay, so men.
Males.
Males coming in to participate in a study that they believed is about matching and memory. And essentially, they were supposedly randomly chosen to be the teacher, not the learner. And, of course, they weren't randomly chosen. All of it was a setup to prove how people are obedient to authority. But the setup is that they are supposed to shock the learner when he gets the word pair wrong.
Right, and they're verified with a 45-volt electric shock, so they know that
they taste the shock in advance.
Right.
So they
and
believe that the man's really
the guy says he has a heart condition.
Right. So let's continue with the Milgram study.
The teacher, that's the person, the real person in this experiment, the average guy. The teacher was then given a list of word pairs from which he was supposed to teach the learner. The teacher began by reading the list of word pairs to the learner. The teacher would then read the first word of each pair and read four possible answers. The learner would press a button to indicate his response. If the answer was incorrect, the learner would receive a shock, with the voltage increasing for each wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
If correct, the teacher would read the next word pair. Subjects believed that for each wrong answer, the learner was receiving actual shocks. In reality, there were no shocks. After the Confederate...
Just acting.
Yes. After the Confederate was separated from the subject, the Confederate set up a tape recorder integrated with the electroshock generator, which played pre-recorded sounds for each shock level. After a number of voltage level increases, the actor started to bang on the wall that separated him from the subject. After several times banging on the wall and complaining about his heart condition, the learner gave no further responses to questions and no further complaints.
As though he had died. Healed over and died.
Right. Yeah. At this point, many people indicated their desire to stop the experiment and check on the learner.
Mm-hmm.
Some test subjects paused at 135 volts and began to question the purpose of the experiment. Most continued after being assured they would not be held responsible.
And who were they assured by?
The person in the lab coat,
that's
a biology
right.
teacher.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't know that. It was just a man in a lab coat who was conducting the experiment, and he was the perceived authority.
Right. A few subjects began to laugh nervously or exhibit other signs of extreme stress once they heard the screams of pain coming from the learner. If at any time the subject indicated his desire to halt the experiment, he was given a succession of verbal prods by the experimenter, in this order. Please continue. The experiment requires that you continue. It is absolutely essential that you continue. You have no other choice. You must go on.
Oh, my gosh.
These are words, though.
Yeah.
They're just words.
Right. That was actually news to me. I hadn't heard that part about the study.
If the subject still wished to stop after all four successive verbal prods, the experiment was halted. Otherwise, it was halted after the subject had given the maximum 450-volt shock three times in succession. I don't know if that'll kill everybody all the time, but it certainly will kill some of the people some of the time.
Doesn't sound very
Lincoln.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very nice.
It's awful. Before the experiment was conducted, Milgram polled 14 Yale senior psychology majors as to what the results would be.
How many people would or would not continue, how far they would go, that sort of thing.
All respondents believed that only a sadistic few, average 1.2%, would be prepared to give the maximum voltage. Milgram also informally polled his colleagues and found that they believed very few subjects would go beyond a very strong shock. Milgram himself didn't believe it, as I've read on the,
mm-hmm.
this experiment. In fact, they were trying to figure out how the German people could be duped into this whole Auschwitz thing, and then they find out the Americans are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. It's people.
In Milgram's first set of experiments, 65% of the experimental participants administered the experiment's final 450-volt shock.
Oh, my gosh.
65% killed the man.
Significant majority.
Yeah. Though many were quite uncomfortable doing so. Everyone paused at some point and
but
questioned...
But they were just following orders.
Yes. At some point, they paused and questioned the experiment, some even saying that they would return the check for the money they were paid. No participant steadfastly refused to give further shocks before the 300-volt level.
Wait. None of them refused?
No participant steadfastly refused to give further shocks before the 300-volt level.
Wow.
Variants of the experiment were later performed by Milgram himself and other psychologists around the world with similar results.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from confirming the original results, the variations have tested variables in the experimental setup. Dr. Thomas Blass of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, performed a meta-analysis of the results of repeated performances of the experiment, he found that the percentage of participants who were prepared to inflict final fatal dosages remained remarkably constant, between 61 and 66%.
Oh, my gosh.
Are those the same people that don't really vote? Regardless of time or location, there's little known coda to the experiment reported by Philip Zimbardo. None of the participants who refused the administrator...
Zimbardo's the guy that set up the Milgram or the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
None of the participants who refused to administer the final shocks insisted that the experiment itself be terminated, nor left the room to check the victim was well without asking for permission to leave, according to Milgram's notes, recollections when he was asked on this point by Zimbardo.
Wait. None of the suckers... left without asking for permission to leave? Is that what he just said?
None of the participants who refused to administer the final shocks. So
okay.
These are the people that
wouldn't go all the way.
Dropped somewhere between 300 and 450.
Okay.
Insisted that the experiment itself be terminated. They just
didn't want to
extract it themselves.
Gotcha.
Nor left the room to check the victim was well without asking for permission to leave, according to Milgram's notes. So none of these people said, "I am out of here. You people are sick. I can't believe this. I'm going to go check on that man in that room, and if you come anywhere near me, I'm going to knock your frickin' teeth out."
Nobody was a hero.
Nobody. And there are 40 men that participated in this.
Mm.
That's a large number.
40 men in that study, and then more in other studies to back it up.
Lots of other studies. Let's see.
Milgram
created a documentary film entitled Obedience, showing the experiment and its results. He also produced a series of 5 other films on social pathology.
So dangerous.
Yeah.
So dangerous. And you can sit here and you can say to yourself, well, I wouldn't be like that, but 40 out of 40 administered the 300-volt shocks. And 0 out of 40 actually stood up and left on their own.
Here's from one of the participants. While I was a subject in the 1964 experiment, although I believed I was hurting someone, I was totally unaware of why I was doing so. Few people ever realize when they are acting according to their own beliefs, when they are meekly submitting to authority.
Mm-hmm.
To permit myself to be drafted with the understanding that I'm submitting to authority's demand to do something very wrong and make me frightened of myself. I'm fully prepared to go to jail if I'm not granted a conscientious objector status. Indeed, it is the only course I could take to be faithful to what I believe. My only hope is that members of my board act equally according to their conscience.
800-259-9231, there you have it. Anybody is subject to this, which is why you really need to keep it front and center in your mind to question authority, no matter who they are or what uniform they're wearing. 800-259-9231, this is Free Talk Live.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MediCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
Well, MediCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from the body. MediCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MediCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay and MediCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MediCleanse?
A 1-month supply is available online at MediCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. For only $26.90, MediCleanse is shipped directly to you. Or call 1-800-317-9547. That's 800-317-9547.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt-in easy for cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06, subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-393-8378. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-393-8378.
When you love what you do, it's impossible not to be successful doing it. So when it comes to investing your life into a franchise opportunity, how do you know you'll find a franchise that you'll absolutely love? We're Franchise Revenue Systems. Our passion is finding the perfect franchise opportunity to meet your passion and financial resources. If you're a young entrepreneur looking to find that modest seed you can nurture into a lifetime of wealth, we'll help you find it. If you're a seasoned business pro ready to go big time on your own, we'll work big time to help you find it. Call today and get a free guide revealing the top secrets to starting a franchise. It's yours free with our compliments. Love what you do. Let us help. Give us a call today and get your guide to the top secrets to starting a franchise free as our gift to your entrepreneurial spirit. Call 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Toll free number for you, 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll free line. 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features there are completely free. Enjoy them. But we do ask that in return for providing you a free-to-use website that you vote for the show. It is the first day of the month of December, and that means that the voting totals have been reset over at podcastalley.com. Now, as of right now, we're the number 2 podcast in the world. We started at number 1 earlier tonight. The competition is hot already, so we need you to head out there at vote.freetalklive.com. Take a moment of your time. It'll take you less than a minute to head over there and cast your vote for Free Talk.
I already did mine.
I did mine earlier today, and
that's 2.
A couple hundred of our listeners, I think, have already come on board and voted. Last month, we hit our highest vote total, I think, of all time, Mark.
About 1,000, right?
About 1,000 votes, and that's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up finishing us in third place for the month of November.
That
which
darn Harry Potter.
Is good, but it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to beat the Potter podcasts. And so we're...
They got about 1,200, I think.
Yeah, we're at it again, once again, rounding up votes. And the more we...
Oh, my God, we're not first.
Yeah, I told you, we're second. The more that we... the more
this
votes,
is unacceptable.
The more votes we can get in the beginning of the month, the better, because it kind of gives us some momentum, if you will, throughout the entire month. So head over to vote.freetalklive.com, register your appreciation for the show, ask a few friends to vote for Free Talk Live as well, and hey, maybe ask them to listen if they get a chance. Again, vote.freetalklive.com. Talking about authority. Still, we had the story last hour about the young girl who was ordered to strip naked in the back office of a McDonald's by a mystery man on the phone claiming to be a police officer. You've got the Milgram experiment, which we just went through. Classic experiment, been duplicated many times ever since, that shows very clearly human beings, it doesn't matter if they're Americans or Europeans, human beings apparently tend to have a deference to authority that can be very, very dangerous.
Apparently, it killed this, it killed this fictitious man.
Yeah, of course, the Milgram study involved people being told to administer shocks to a man that they didn't personally know, and by a man in a lab coat. Now, there was an alternate version of the Milgram study where we talked about the guy in the lab coat who was in charge of the study giving people orders to shock others. And people, of course, did follow the orders. Most of the people, 65% of them, went all the way to the maximum level of shock to where the man wasn't even responding anymore.
450 volts. They did it three times in a row, though.
Yep. And none of them left without asking permission to leave. I mean, it's just an amazing study. But they found out that when you change the man who's doing the encouraging to just another participant,
mm-hmm.
it completely changes the face of the results of the study.
I bet that's true, too.
So what you originally had in the Milgram study was the scientist standing there giving the orders. I don't know if you still have those four orders that he gave in order. For instance, if the person was questioning whether or not they should continue to increase the voltage and to continue to shock the man.
They said these four things, and that's all they said. Once they had said these four things, that was it.
It would basically go like, I don't know if I should continue doing this.
Please continue.
Okay. I don't know. He sounds like he's hurting in there.
The experiment requires that you continue.
Oh, okay. He's screaming in there. This is really... I don't know if we should keep doing this.
It's absolutely essential that you continue.
Essential? Hmm. All right. He's not responding. Hey, what do I do now?
You have no other choice. You must go on.
And they did.
And they did.
And they did, and they did.
65% of them.
Again, in the alternate version, the person giving those suggestions, those commands, was another participant in the study. So somebody in the same room, somebody observing. The lab coat guy was not there. And the results changed. Because when the person is perceived to be an equal, when the person is perceived to be just somebody else,
right.
Some other guy, somebody without authority, so-called,
right.
Then we don't listen to them.
No biggie.
Then we will say, no, who are you? Who are you to tell me to do this? Indeed, who is the question? What are they wearing? And what is their demeanor? Because it all has to do with the results.
You know, it's all about the hat. It's all about the hat somebody wears.
Or the badge. Or the uniform.
But they still got a hat.
Or the
robe.
And it's so disturbing to me. And we talk about the Milgram study at least once a year on this show, and I think we should, because it's really that important. Go learn more about it at Wikipedia. And also, since I'm not going to get back into it, but the Stanford Prison Experiment is also an excellent accompaniment. If you're going to learn about the Milgram Experiment, also learn about the Stanford Prison Experiment, because they both tie in really well together. Milgram, of course, showing that people are obedient to authority. And the Stanford Prison Experiment showing that people become the roles that they're suggested to become. They might not have been sicko sadists, but when you put them in the role as prison guard, the sadist comes out. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Amy writes in, I'd like to call in with this story, but my phone isn't working. When I was 17, I found myself being followed by an anonymous white van as I drove home with a friend.
It's a little disturbing.
It was, men in vans, look out.
Hey, you know, I drove a white van for quite some time. And it didn't have any windows.
And look out.
Yeah, well, Mom just liked to... It's good for carrying the dog crates around. She shows dogs.
She says, it was about 10 o'clock at night. I noticed the van was behind me, but it didn't register that I was being followed until I turned onto my block. I pulled into my driveway, I still lived with my parents at the time, thinking that the person in the van would see all of the lights on in my house and drive away. This wasn't the case. He got out of the van, and I locked my car doors, frozen in fear. Now, he wasn't in a police uniform, but he waved a badge and was ordering me to open my door. I refused. Instead, I leaned on my horn and screamed. My dad came out of the house, and the cop jumped into his van and drove away.
Oh, my God.
I shudder to think what might have happened had I obeyed his orders and opened the door instead of honking my horn and making a scene. Indeed. That guy had some brass balls to do something like that, right out in front of somebody's house, with lights on, obviously occupied. He wasn't intending to do something good.
The people that do these things, they seem to do some really brave / crazy stupid stuff.
Your thoughts at 800-259-9231 as we go to Indiana. The AP, two students are suing to return to school after they were expelled for making a movie in which evil teddy bears attack a teacher. The teenagers were among four students expelled from Knightstown High School over the movie titled The Teddy Bear Master.
Oh my God.
Two of the boys are asking a federal judge in Indianapolis to order the students reinstated, arguing that their school officials overreacted to a film parody and violated their First Amendment rights. Now, they obviously don't know that you don't have First Amendment rights when you're on school campus. How do I know that? Well, my principal told me so when I was in high school.
Well, you believed him.
Well, he was right. I couldn't say what I wanted to say.
Tis true.
In Knightstown, Principal Jim DiAgostino and Superintendent David McGuire don't see the humor and note that the teacher who is threatened in the movie has the same last name as a real teacher in the district. That's crazy to think that it's a threat to anyone, says the mother of son Isaac and his friend Cody, and she has filed, apparently, the lawsuit in U.S. District Court. We as adults, supposedly, and educators at that, who have failed terribly, they're willing to throw four good kids away, says the mom, whose son has missed more than a month of school. But the Charles A. Beard Memorial School Board last week upheld the suspensions of Amel Overbay and a third student who had appealed to return to the school. The other boys who were expelled have not taken legal action. Indiana law allows for expulsion for activity unconnected with the school if the activity is unlawful and interferes with school operations. The Henry County Prosecutor's Office reviewed the movie but declined to press charges. The boys, who are all sophomores, worked on the Teddy Bear movie from fall 2005 through summer of 2006. In the movie, the Teddy Bear Master orders stuffed animals to kill a teacher who had embarrassed him, but students battle the toy beasts, according to the documents filed in court. It's a 14 or 15-year-old boy's idea of humor, says the attorney for the ACLU.
So they were actually fighting off the teddy bears and trying to save the teacher.
To save the teacher. But everybody is so uppity these days that the mention of a teacher's name in a fictional production is enough to suspend people, to expel them from school. 800-259-9231. I made a little production in my high school days. It probably would have gotten me in a little bit of trouble. I'll tell you about it coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Is timing belt a technical term that makes you run for cover? Come on out. If you've jumped rope or played piano, you know more than you think. When I come back, I'll fill in the rest.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Cindy. Wow, this is the second time I've seen you at the gas station this week.
Ah, the life of a soccer mom. I'm always gassing up.
If this is the story of your life, make your next oil change a change to Royal Purple High Performance Oil. Royal Purple can reduce fuel consumption by as much as 5%. So go to royalpurple.com for a dealer near you.
Royal Purple, the performance oil that outperforms.
Like jump ropes and piano metronomes tell you when to move your legs and fingers, timing belts cue two engine body parts to move. They're called pistons and valves. And when they move in concert, they create the beautiful music of a well-tuned engine. But if the timing belt's defective, screech! Pistons and valves crash into each other like cymbals. The sound's not pretty, and the price to the piper's high. See, timing is everything. So at 60,000 miles, change that timing belt. I'm Bobby Likas.
Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, the final segment of the Friday edition. Still time for your call if you make it now at 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free lines. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy them. And if you do enjoy them, then maybe you should become a Free Talk Live amplifier. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com to learn what it's all about. It's very simple. It stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is that you send us $3 a month if you like the show and you want to help spread Free Talk Live to more radio stations, get more internet listeners on board. It's very easy. You go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about it. You get signed up there, and then you become a Free Talk Live amplifier, and that does qualify you for a few bonuses, like access to the amplifier-only call-in lines, amplifier-only forum, classic archives, and more. amp.freetalklive.com. Great way to support the show. So we're talking about the Teddy Bear Master. It's a movie that a couple of high school kids made. Actually, apparently a number of high school kids, about four of them, and they were all expelled over the movie. Why? Well, because one of the characters in the movie, the plot of the movie, pretty simple. The teddy bear master, one of the characters in the film, orders his teddy bear minions to kill a teacher who had embarrassed said teddy bear master. But students step in to battle the toy beasts, according to documents filed, yes, in court. The students are now suing to go back to these government schools. And again, why it is that parents really want to put their kids back in these hell holes is beyond me. That I just don't understand. Maybe they could sue for some cash and then take the cash and put their kids into private schools, where maybe their talents would be appreciated. Because what you're talking about here is a situation where they should have been encouraged. Well, like, you're 14, 15 years old, and you're already working with DV cameras. You're out there making and editing your own films. I think that should be something that should be encouraged. The content, non-issue. The content wasn't a direct threat against a particular teacher.
No.
Just the character in the movie happened to share a last name with Daniel Clevenger, who teaches 7th grade at Knightstown Intermediate School.
Now, Clevenger can't be a very common name.
They may have indeed picked him because maybe he was a teacher in the past and they didn't like him, or maybe they did like him. Again, they did save him from the teddy bears in the film.
Could very well.
But nonetheless, Mr. Clevenger felt threatened by the movie. Indianapolis attorney Robert Kelso, who represents the school district, wrote in a document filed in court that the movie quote contained vulgar and offensive language, threatened and intimidated a teacher. Hey. Hello, McFly. You're talking about high school kids. You expect them? I mean, this wasn't even a movie, apparently, at least not from what I can tell, for any sort of class assignment. It doesn't mention in here that this was for an assignment. It just appears that they were making this movie for fun. My friends and I used to make violent movies for fun when we were kids. We didn't happen to involve any teachers' names, but nonetheless, these are some of the things that young teenagers in America, teenage boys specifically, I think, do. They make movies. And in this case, they made a movie. They happened to include the name of a teacher, and now they're in big trouble for it. Now they've been expelled. And I think it's a shame.
It seems like they're going overboard.
They're going way overboard, and it makes me remember back to my high school
and
days.
It really ruins these kids' lives. I mean, it certainly doesn't help them in their pursuit of success.
Well, I hope it does help them. I hope a film school gets in touch with them and gives them a scholarship or something like that. Now, I hope something good comes out of this for them, which could happen. But it makes me remember my high school days and something that I did that luckily, apparently, didn't get out far enough. Because if it had, who knows what they would have done to me. Now, back when I was in high school, it was the mid-90s, and there was a very popular computer game called Doom. Now, Doom was one of the very first first-person shooters, as they call them today, where you are essentially in the body of the player in the game, and you run around and shoot and kill virtually anything that moves. Now, one of the cool things that made Doom such a revolutionary game, besides its very fun network play, you could get online and... Or not online, at the time it was dial-up modems. You'd have to dial up somebody else's modem directly. And
really?
You could battle it out between the two computers.
Hmm.
Or if you were fortunate enough to have more than a few computers in your house, you could network them together, and you could play on your local network. That was one of the cool things about Doom. But the other thing was that Doom was one of the very first games to allow user-customizable content. And this is it's just taken for granted today. A lot of games come out today, and there's this huge community that sort of surrounds the game, and they create new levels and new graphics and add-ons and patches and all kinds of neat new content that's all free because they're just game freaks, and they spend all of their free time coding all of this stuff, these bonuses for the game.
Everybody's got to have a hobby, and that's theirs.
That's their hobby. And some of them are really good at it.
I mean, sure.
Like professional-grade quality coming out of just essentially people volunteering their time.
It's just a matter of time that they manage to practice on it, I'm sure.
So, as you could imagine, being in high school, I had a little free time on my hands.
And you're a freak, too.
And I'm a geek. And so I went ahead and created not only a level for the game Doom, which happened to be modeled exactly... after the high school cafeteria.
Hmm.
But I also, I went in there and took measurements. I went in there and really did a good job.
Tried to get it pretty darn close, huh?
And so not only did I create the level that identified as the high school cafeteria, but I also made a graphics patch for the game that changed all of the monsters in the game to floating heads scanned in from the high school yearbook.
Yeah. I just knew that was coming.
Yeah, I had the principal, I had the vice principal, I had some of the most unpopular teachers in the school. And so you would load up the level, you'd load up the graphics patch, and you would go through the level and blast away violently killing graphical representations of the teachers at my school. Did it mean that I wanted to go and kill the teachers at my school? No! Did it mean that I even seriously considered doing something like that in real life for a moment? Absolutely not. The thought never even crossed my mind. It was pure fantasy. And I had violent death animations for each one of them. Each creature, I had different death animations. So it's not like you just riddle them all with bullets and they all die in the same way. I had like one of them would explode, sort of get their face would get bigger and bigger and sort of explode out. And there was a bunch of different ones. And very gory.
Now in this post-Columbine world, you would have gone Guantanamo.
This was 3 years before Columbine happened. But yeah, had that gotten out, had that gotten to the administration, you can bet I would have been in trouble back then. I don't know how bad it would have been compared to today. But can you imagine? Can you imagine kids, somebody in administration today getting their hands on something that violent? That, you think this teddy bear master... is bad. In Teddy Bear Master, they save the teacher from the attacking bear.
He lives.
In my game, the goal was to eliminate all of the life from the level.
They
and
die.
Kill all of these people.
Right.
So, and I'm okay. I'm not a violent person. In fact, I'm a libertarian.
Yep.
So I'm
no one's died.
Only in favor of
the
violence.
Creation of this talk show host.
Self-defense. But nonetheless, can you just imagine how people would have responded to that? 800-259-9231, and maybe I would have ended up in court, maybe I would have ended up on the witness stand swearing in, like this guy.
This is Ellison. the congressperson that wants to be sworn in on the Quran apparently has all kinds of conservatives all riled up. Before he became the nation, before he became the nation's first Muslim elected to Congress, Democrat Keith Ellison was called unfit for Congress by his Republican opponent. This is obviously a very it's from Think Progress and very pro Democrat. And that's just the beginning. Ellison is setting yet another precedent in January when he takes the oath of office on the Quran, Islam's holiest book, in case you didn't know.
That's going to make a stir, huh?
Mm-hmm. An event that invoked conservatives to accuse him of deviating his allegiance from the Constitution to Allah.
What? What's the Constitution have to do with the Bible?
Nothing.
You don't swear on the Constitution. You swear on the Bible. But if you don't believe in the Bible, how can you swear on it? I wouldn't do it. I'm an atheist.
You wouldn't swear on the Bible?
No.
I would.
I watched Dave, our listener, Dave from New Hampshire, I watched him get up in a federal courtroom and refuse to swear on the Bible. Well, no problem. They still let him testify.
Yep. Well, I don't believe, I'm not a Christian, but I would swear on the Bible just because. That's what they want to swear on, fine.
Okay.
On Tuesday, conservative radio talk show host and columnist Dennis Prager wrote, America is only interested in one book, the Bible.
He speaks for all of America.
Right.
Huh?
Directly addressing Ellison, he added, if you're incapable of taking an oath on that book, don't serve in Congress.
Who do you think you are, jerkweed?
Ellison said that he's not changing his mind about the sacred text.
Good for him.
He's swearing on. The Constitution guarantees for everyone to take the oath of office on whichever book they prefer. I'm not sure it says that. He said in a telephone interview, and that's what the freedom of religion is all about. According to Roll Call, the Capitol Hills newspaper, swearing in on a particular sacred text is a symbolic, optional affair for House members who would like a photo op with the Speaker of the House at the end of the mass swearing-in ceremony, which has no specific religious denomination.
Good. I hope he goes through with this, and I hope he's successful, and I hope a bunch of conservative talk show hosts get very angry about it.
Well, they certainly are.
It's Vinny in here with you.
And Mark.
We'll be back tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Don't forget to miss the live Saturday show tomorrow night. We got some killer stuff on the way for that. This is your show, Free Talk Live. See you tomorrow night. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.